You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get to our first featured guest of the evening. It is a man who needs no introduction, my friend and yours, the incomparable Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, author of several epic books, including White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. Jared, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Always a pleasure to have you, brother. And folks, the way it works is during the week, I monitor the news just like so many of you do. And if I see a topic of interest that may be something that we'd like to present on this broadcast, I jot down a note, I tuck the headline away in my back pocket, and we wait to get on the air. Well, there were two such stories that caught my eye this week, in addition to, of course, Kavanaugh's confirmation and some of the other things we're talking about tonight, celebrating Columbus Day, obviously. It turns out that Jared beat me to the punch by a day just yesterday. He and Paul Kersey did a fantastic podcast over there at Amren.com, during which they addressed two things that I wanted to talk about tonight. And since Jared did such a masterful job, I said, well, why not just have Jared on? Any excuse to have Jared on is always a good one. But let's take these one by one. Jared, one of the things you discussed yesterday with Paul was the incident of the arrest by the feds of what they called pro-white serial rioters, quote unquote. Tell us the story behind that. Just take it away in any direction you'd like.
Well, this is a disturbing development. This was an arrest of four men out in California who are members of a group that I had not heard of before called Rise Against, or Rise Against Movement, that they abbreviate as RAM. And apparently, according to the feds, and this is a district attorney, a federal district attorney who works for Jeff Sessions, he's a Trump administration appointee, arrested these guys. They say that these were white guys who, wherever there was an opportunity to tangle with Antifa, mostly in California, Huntington Beach, San Bernardino, Berkeley, but also at Unite the Right and Chancellors in Charlottesville, they were there, ready for action, and were aggressively pounding counter-demonstrators. Now, maybe this is true, maybe this isn't true. But one thing that is deeply disturbing about this is that the record against them was compiled not by the FBI, but by something called ProPublica. This is a leftist nonprofit news gathering, or so-called news gathering outfit, that is basically in the business of just attacking anybody who stands up for the rights and interests of white people. They have been very eager and busy about doxing anybody who attended the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. And they did a very long and detailed hit piece against this Rise Against movement. And they had analyzed photographs and videos, and they had pinpointed the activities of several of these people. And the indictment against the four of them is basically a cut-and-paste job from what this ProPublica lefty outfit did. Now, that is very disturbing to me, that the feds, under Jeff Sessions, under Donald Trump, should have done an indictment of this kind. Now, maybe these guys did everything they're accused of having done. And one of the things they say about them is that they taped up their fists MMA style, that they were clearly ready to rumble, that they bragged about how they were training to fight. They had videos of these guys in sort of martial arts practice sessions, doing push-ups, pull-ups, things like that. And it's pretty clear that they were there cruising for a fight. Now, as you know, and as all of our listeners know, this is something that you could absolutely say the same thing about for Antifa people, the Black Bloc. And for me, it is disturbing that the administration that is run by the one politician who apparently was capable of seeing that, certainly at Charlottesville, there were two sides involved in the violence. And it takes two to tango, and it takes two to fight. And Donald Trump was very, very clear on the fact that, you know, there were malefactors, there were people who were itching for fight on both sides. But instead of paying any attention to Antifa, what they've done is take this investigation, this undoubtedly slanted, but perhaps at least in part factual investigation by this lefty-lefty outfit, and done an indictment against these four guys. I find that, again, very disturbing.
It is disturbing, and we have to be real in our coverage about Trump. We will cover the good and the bad. By the way, we spent some time in the first hour talking about Kavanaugh's confirmation. I would also instruct everyone to go to Ameren.com and watch Jared's latest YouTube video. We're all Brett Kavanaugh now. Excellent work as always. But getting back to this, yes, I mean, obviously under the Trump DOJ, as you mentioned, Jared, to arrest these activists based largely on leftist investigations, as you write, in this ProPublica outfit that you mentioned. They may be a nonprofit, but they've got tens of millions in the bank, and it always seems to turn out that way. But yes, these people, certainly there are people that claim to be pro-white who may be bad eggs. Now, I'm not saying that these guys are or not. I don't know them, but it is telling. What is telling is that they have been targeted, whereas legitimate serial rioters, and that's what I would call Black Lives Matter, although they've sort of piped down a little bit during the Trump years, only to give way to the rise of Antifa, who have been even more violent than they were. Now, those are legitimate serial rioters. And I haven't seen any comparable arrest on that side. If examples have to be made, it would be nice if there was a little more give and take.
And again, the fact that this lefty organization, apparently they put a lot of effort into piecing together this kind of photographic and video evidence, but even the pro-Antifa journalists, such as Christopher Mathias, who writes for the Huffington Post, they just gloated that the prosecution is essentially a cut-and-paste job. They think this is great. This Mathias guy, in fact, he wanted to cover the American Renaissance Conference. Instead, what he did, we told him, no, you aren't coming. You're not a journalist. You're a propagandist for lefty hate mongers. And so instead he came to Nashville, and he hung out with the Antifa people. And he wrote this admiring article, but it showed them doing exactly the same kind of training with sticks and martial arts stuff, prepared to do violence to so-called fascists and racists and Nazis. And there are many Antifa-related websites and Twitter accounts that are utterly explicit about their intention to shut down any kind of person who stands up for the rights of whites. So these people have a very clear pattern. Now, I suppose if we had, I want to give the Trump administration the benefit of the doubt. It is possible that if we had millions of dollars the way ProPublica done, and we had been able to piece together all of this video and photographic evidence and find these Antifa types who have been attacking our folks at every opportunity, maybe an indictment would come down. I don't know. But that's not the sort of thing that civilians...
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting take you just had there, Jared. I didn't think of it like that. But why are we letting a left-wing organization do our law enforcement investigations for us? Under the Jeff Sessions Justice Department, the Trump Justice Department. We'll be right back. We got to take a quick break.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, we've got the great Jared Taylor with us for one more segment, and I was talking with Jared on the phone a little earlier today, and we were going to talk about one topic for one segment and another for the second, but just to recap what we were talking about a moment ago, the Sessions Justice Department arresting these white guys based largely on leftist investigations. Of course, if found guilty of any wrongdoing, let justice be served, but that is a potentially disturbing trend, or at least a disturbing precedent, I should say, in that a left-wing group is able to serve up the research and then it gets regurgitated into the actual indictment. And I can tell you this, to be sure, for whatever malevolent individuals may or may not be involved in the periphery of our broader-based movement, there are 100 times worse and 100 times more coming from the other side. Would you agree with that, Jared?
Yes, I would agree. These people have been practicing this kind of systematic violence, and many of them, when it comes to something like an American Renaissance conference, they have been plotting, in fact, to shut it down with violence if need be. That seems to me to be a criminal conspiracy to deprive us of our First Amendment rights. If the police were really serious about this kind of thing, I think it would be very easy to throw the book at these people. And in the case of American Renaissance conferences, many of them have been saying that if the AR conference would be held at Montgomery Bell State Park, which is owned by the state of Tennessee, they would hold the state of Tennessee liable and responsible. This kind of talk, this attempt to prevent us from meeting, to assemble in a perfectly legal way, I think that there is probably a crime, some kind of conspiracy crime there. Nobody seems to be interested in that.
Well, that's actually when the archives post after the fact for the fans of this program who perhaps are not listening to us live right now. They listen to us after the fact. That is the description of your appearance tonight. You are returning to the show to address the increasing censorships that we face and the decreasing freedoms that we enjoy. And I saw something that even made my eyes widen this week, Jared, and that is the Hyatt Hotel chain announcing a ban on hate groups. Now, you think that this is like Henry VIII I am of Herman's Hermits. It's just another verse to the same song. But this, there's something a little bit different about this particular cancellation. Can you give us the story on that, the details there, Jared?
Yes. This came in the wake of a meeting held at the Crystal City Hyatt in Northern Virginia, just across the river from Washington, D.C., by a group called Act for America. This is a group that is very concerned about Muslim violence and Muslim Sharia-type infiltration into the West. It was started by a woman, Brigitte Gabriel. She's a Lebanese-born Christian, and she is officially not against Islam, except insofar as it is a security threat to the West. Her group also is very solid. They want secure borders. They'd like the wall built. They are completely opposed to sanctuary cities. They're against the visa lottery. They are big, big, big supporters of Donald Trump. Now, they were going to have, well, they in fact, did have their conference, their annual conference, September 4th and 5th, just recently at the Crystal City Hyatt. But for months ahead of time, as soon as the organization had announced that it was going to have its meeting, a group called Muslim Advocates was lobbying very, very hard to have them thrown out, contract broken, because they are, according to the SPLC, a hate group. Well, as you know, it's very easy to be designated a hate group by the SPLC. Now, to give you an example of the sort of organization this is, it's probably not one that many of your listeners are familiar with. They claim to have as many as a million members with nearly 1,000 chapters throughout the United States. They are a 501c3 nonprofit, and at their meeting, they had speeches and appearances by Congressman Jeff Duncan of South Carolina, Louis Gohmert of Texas, Doug Lamborn of Colorado, and they also had former ICE director Thomas Homan, who gave a talk, and they gave a presentation and gave an award to Senator Ted Cruz, who accepted in person. Apparently, Brigitte Gabriel has visited the White House many times. She has President Trump's ear. They are a substantial and, in fact, largely mainstream organization that gets the kind of support that I just described. Well, the Hyatt Hotel Group, they let them have their September 4th and 5th meeting, but then they issued a policy according to which they are never going to let them come back again. They said, and I'm quoting a statement from Hyatt Hotels CEO Mark Hoplamazian. I don't know what kind of name that is, but according to Mark Hoplamazian, they said, if a group is primarily focused on disparaging a group by virtue of their identity, that's where we need to draw the line. And so they said, henceforth, we are not going to host Act for America. Now, if you are kicking out a group that has Ted Cruz show up, congressmen, former ICE directors, it's not a very far step to kicking out the Republican Party, for heaven's sake. This is really, again, a very disturbing development. Go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish your thought, Jared, please. We only have about 2 minutes remaining.
Hyatt Hotel,
make sure you get that in.
We had about 4 American Renaissance conference meetings at a Hyatt Hotel near the Dulles Airport. That was our go-to place for years, and they loved us. They loved having us back. We were a good group, but they ended up getting every year more and more demonstrators, more and more threats, more and more people coming on the property distributing leaflets saying Hyatt supports Nazis, blah, 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 blah. But there was never any kind of corporate-level statement of this kind. They very regretfully said to us, well, you know, we love you guys. We think you are a wonderful group to come, but we just can't stand it when people threaten to block the parking lot, when they come on the property and distribute pamphlets like this. We're sorry. We just don't need that headache. But that was an individual local hotel that made that decision. Now Hyatt Hotels is proclaiming a corporate-wide policy that would exclude, obviously, not only a group like American Renaissance, but something that is essentially a conservative branch of the Republican Party. This is really astonishing.
Yeah, it was about 10 years ago, of course, or around 2008 when hotels began arbitrarily canceling their contracts with groups such as American Renaissance, quite famously, VDARE, a Council of Conservative Citizens, et al. But right. Now we're seeing that extended to an organization like this, Act for America, an organization that has, according to its founder, Brigitte Gabriel, a standing meeting at the White House once a week. Other people who spoke at this conference earlier in September were Steve King and Scott Perry, a Republican out of Pennsylvania, along with the other individuals of renown and United States congressmen and senators. So, yes, if they are now getting the Ameren treatment, if they are now considered to be a bona fide hate group by, well, as you mentioned, it's hard not to be considered that to the SPLC. But if Hyatt is going to take that position on this, I mean, you're talking about some of the who's who in the Republican majority, and they are getting the same treatment as we have experienced for about a decade now. Something's got to give, Jared, with only seconds remaining. You couldn't get much further than this. Yes, the Republican Party itself would be next to be a hate group. They can't rent a hotel. Trump can't rent a hotel.
Exactly. I can imagine that with not much difficulty. After all, you get spokesmen for the administration being run out of restaurants. I can easily imagine hotel chains saying, nope, no Republicans, and that's it.
Yep. It's that close, ladies and gentlemen. It's that close. Fantastic appearance, as always, from Jared Taylor. He never fails. Ladies and gentlemen, support him at Ameren.com. Jared, we're looking forward to the next time already.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Good night. We'll be back with more right after this.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, I guess it was pretty uncanny timing that in the ad rotation, the last ad to play before we came back in this particular segment was the League of the South ad. We didn't plan it that way. It was just sort of a coincidence because the thing I'm going to be talking to you about right now is the League of the South. So it was, I guess, Sunday morning, I pulled up YouTube, and the top video being pushed by the site was this Saturday Night Live skit featuring the League of the South. Now, this aired last Saturday night, so I guess, what time does, I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in decades. it used to be funny. It actually did used to be good, maybe before I was born, but back when it had Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Phil Hartman and people like that, and there was actually some talent, Chevy Chase, some talent to Saturday Night Live. Now it's just a complete political screed. And by the way, this really is James Edwards. I know you think I'm Rod Stewart right now. You know, Rod Stewart never cut a record until he had laryngitis. I picked up on that. But I am a little hoarse. But nevertheless, the League of the South on Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live is just completely political now. It's just the more left-wing screed masquerading as comedy. But this was a pretty interesting clip. We posted it at thepoliticalcesspool.org on Monday, so you can go check it out if you missed it. It's on YouTube. It had over a million views on YouTube last week, about a week ago when I first found it. It already had over a million, so I don't know what the count is up to now. And that's in addition, of course, to the people who watched it live when, Saturday Night Live was on. Let's play the entire clip right now, and then we'll talk about it.
Couple of League of the South announcements. Deb is selling Confederate flag blankets. All proceeds go to the troops. And there's been some complaints about our fantasy football league. We're going to go ahead and say you can pick black players on your team. So that's going to help out a lot. Now, Jim has something important to say. So come on up here.
All right. Okay, so friends, you've seen it. It's been over a year since we neo-Confederate volunteers marched on Charlottesville, and things haven't gotten better. More foreigners coming in, more strangers who don't respect our way of life. We're losing our culture, and I will not sit quietly. You with me?
Yeah!
Right. So tonight, I have a plan, a grand vision. If they're going to keep coming here, then we're going to go someplace else. Our own place, for our own people.
Yeah.
No immigrants. No minorities. An agrarian community where everyone lives in harmony because every single person is white. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know that place. That sounds like Vermont.
So Vermont? No, sir. What I'm talking about is a place purely for Caucasians, where even the folks who wash the dishes and pick the fruit are white.
Oh, yeah, that's Vermont.
Are you new here?
Yeah, I'm originally from up north. But,
whoa!
Don't worry, I'm from Boston.
Oh, all right, good. Okay, cool.
But I've been to Vermont many times, and it's just like what you're saying.
I'm sorry, but you don't seem to understand. What I'm proposing is a whole new society. Going back to a time when a white man can take things that he grew from the ground and trade them with another white man who grew things from the ground.
Yeah, that's a farmer's market, and they're all over Vermont.
Damn it, this ain't some Yankee commune, all right? The place I'm envisioning is a paradise. Country stores.
Yep.
Covered bridges.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of place where you can drive around in an old car and wave to folks on porches having breakfast.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I saw that last week in Vermont.
Well, be that as it may, no one wants to move to Vermont, right?
No. I don't know. It sounds kind of nice. Are there lots of dogs around wearing bandanas?
Oh, well, yeah, of course there are.
Okay.
Look, y'all, we're getting off track. Now, Todd, you don't want to go to Vermont, do you?
I don't know, Jim. I was thinking. You know how for this year's White Nationalist Retreat, we were going to go to Colonial Williamsburg again? Hey, maybe we should go to Vermont.
Todd! You love Colonial Williamsburg. It's things as they should be.
I know, Jim, but this place sounds nice. Pancakes on the porch, spiced apple compote. The leaves change colors, but the people never do. Why wouldn't you want to go?
Okay, now, I just found an Airbnb in Shelburne. Listen to this. Cozy, eight-bedroom farmhouse, vaulted ceilings, two-way fireplace, fly fishing, and off-road nearby. That's a Caucasian paradise, y'all.
Come on now.
All right, everybody. Okay, just wrap up your little Confederate pity party, man. There's an A&A meeting starting in about 10 minutes.
Hold on, William. You ever been to Vermont?
Vermont? Why would I want to go there? There's no hip-hop on the radio, people paying to run around in corn mazes, not a black face for miles. Hell no.
Okay, all right. Thank you, William. Okay, well, it's settled. We're going to Vermont.
Maybe we can all rent Subarus.
You know what? Actually, to be completely honest, I did find that to be funny. I wasn't offended. Now, there's no doubt that the people at NBC intended the League of the South and our people no goodwill. But if you liken it to like a roast that you might that friends may do to one another, it could have been a lot worse. And it certainly raised a lot of awareness to the existence of the League of the South. I was surprised that they used the name League of the South. A lot of times when the media will do this, you know who they're talking about. You know who they're doing the parody on, but they won't actually name the organization. But they did in this meeting. They were wearing the League of the South polo shirts. They have the League of the South flag on the wall, the black and white flag, and of course the Confederate flag as well. And even though it is a caricature, obviously, of what you would really hear at a League of the South meeting, it was pretty close to a League of the South meeting in terms of maybe like a state meeting. I have spoken at a lot of different chapters of the League of the South. And, of course, I spoke at the League of the South National Conference earlier this summer in Alabama. And, by the way, everybody who donated to TPC last month is going to be getting that DVD later this week, or rather later next week. We're going to mail them out next week. So it's almost the timing is so good. You'd think we coordinated this with Saturday Night Live. But I remember one speech I gave to the League of the South a year or two ago in Arkansas, and it was at this local library. And this skit, it was at a community center. But it happened just like that. A black employee of the in this skit, it was a good-natured, you know, black guy coming in and you know, telling jokes. But what happened in real life was there was a black employee of the library who came in and tried to start fighting with our people. But it was in a very similar setup at a similar meeting hall. So somebody has done some research on at least how these local meetings look with, you know, 30, 40, 50 people, smaller groups on the local levels. I think, well, first of all, let's go to Twitter. A lot of people responded to this Vermont, America, Scandinavia. That's Jim Smith. Jim also brings up another point. Have you ever heard of any Southern Heritage supporters calling themselves neo-Confederates? And of course, Jim, the answer is no. I've only heard it from the left, as you write. First, they laugh at you, .. Yes, that's true. Raising awareness about how white Vermont is. I think that may have been the actual thing that Saturday Night Live was driving at, to try to shame Vermont for being so white. Let's see. Somebody else made mention of the polo shirt they're wearing, the quintessential League of the South look. What else do I have here on Twitter? The Saturday Night Live. To be honest, Loretta writes, the Saturday Night Live skit made the League of the South look like a bunch of zany, lovable people who just want to live in Vermont, rocking on the porch, neighbors waving to each other, farmers, markets, and dogs in bandanas. Doesn't everybody want that? And now I want to move to Vermont, writes another listener of TPC. Other than a skit, this is the thing. If it had been just another media article, the League of the South, like TPC, is in the news all the time. And over the years, the novelty of it wears off. And now a lot of times we don't even make mention, even on this show, when we're in the news, unless it's something a little bit out of the ordinary. But this one was, I think, a little different. Other than a skit about our interview with Hutton Gibson that Jimmy Kimmel did on the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show, I think that's the only other late night comedy show that I can recall, any comparable segment that named so specifically one of our groups. So Jimmy Kimmel, in that actual skit, he was mocking our interview with Hutton Gibson, Mel Gibson's father, some years ago. And he actually played on his show part of that interview, and you could hear myself and Bill Rowland and Hutton Gibson talking to one another in that clip. That was up on YouTube for a long time. I haven't seen it in years. I don't think it's up anymore, but we posted it at the time. That was, again, some years ago. Now, David Duke, yes, they just made the movie Black Klansman, in which David Duke was portrayed in the film. Richard Spencer appeared in Dinesh D'Souza's latest laugher, his latest monstrosity. But as far as his late night comedy shows go, I can't think of two organizations that have been specifically named that he could be forgetting, except for TPC, the League of the South. But again, over 1 million people on YouTube alone have seen the clip, and that's not counting the ones who watched it on NBC last week. We're going to get Michael Hill's response to this now that you've heard it. If you haven't seen it, you've heard it. Michael Hill's
Let's
next.
Hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour. And hit into the road barriers. Her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it. And the other three boys were trapped in it. And the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do. Just get up here to the hospital. You know, I parked my car and I went inside. And they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed. And I lost it. To other people, because they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it, because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right. So we spent that last segment talking a little bit about the Saturday Night Live skit featuring the League of the South. We actually played the audio from that. If you want to see the video, you can go to YouTube. We posted it at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, you're probably wondering, why wasn't Michael Hill on in the last segment? Well, Michael Hill's with us now. So that's the good news. Michael is actually in the midst of a family function right now. He's got some relatives in town, so he very graciously and very kindly agreed to join us, take a few minutes out of his family function to be on with us this evening. So we tried to limit his time away from them as much as we could. So we're just going to have Michael for about 10 minutes. We've already set the stage. People have heard the clip. Welcome back now to the show, Dr. Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. Michael, how are you?
Oh, James, I'm fine. Thanks for having me on again, even for a short time.
Well, I tell you what, many more appearances and you're just going to get promoted all the way up to host. We've had a lot to talk about this year.
That's right. Nobody could ever take your place here, James. I'm just a guest every once in a while.
Thank you, Chief. Well, increasingly so this year. We have had a lot, like I said, League of the South has been made a lot of news this year. And we've had a lot of good times together this year down in Alabama. And yes, every appearance you make has been a great one, and we're always looking for ways to bring you on. But it was interesting, though, because you're very welcome, and thank you for all you do. Last quarter, we had your book, Celtic Warfare, as the incentive, and now speech that I gave is going out to everybody who contributed last month, so League of the South has even been featured in that capacity the last couple of quarters. But obviously, League of the South featured prominently on Saturday Night Live. Its leader now responds and shares with us his thoughts and his reaction to it. Michael, what did you think?
I couldn't help but laugh, James. It was actually a funny skit. And anybody who heard your audio knows that, in some alternate universe or reality, we're going to be moving up to Vermont because it's got all white people up there. But listen, the last time I checked, James, that thing had over 2 million views. And
now it's up to 2 million.
Yeah, it's just in a few days. And, man, I tell you, the phone has just rung off the hook this week in the league office with people wanting information packets about the league. So we've been busy with that. And it's just wonderful to be given so much free advertising by our enemies, and that's exactly what it was. And it was a very innocuous skit. I mean, I could think of a lot worse ways to portray us, but they had our Southern Nationalist Black Cross flag on the wall along with the battle flag, and they had some guy there in one of our look-alike league black polo shirts with the black X on it, and It was just very, very cool the way they did this and gave us all this free advertising and publicity.
Yeah, I know we actually didn't talk about what each other thought about the skit, but so I'm not surprised to hear you say what you said, because I said the same thing in the previous segment. I actually thought it was funny. I didn't think it was overly offensive. Now, I don't have any illusion that NBC was trying to do us a favor here, and I'm sure they probably thought it made us look bad, but I thought it was actually a pretty tongue-in-cheek kind of funny. I almost appreciated it in some ways, but I was surprised, though. I was surprised that they used the League of the South name. I mean, I certainly they used like they had a rip on the polo shirt, but I thought that they typically what they do, and I made mention of this a moment ago, they will so closely portray a group without actually giving the name. But they had, not only did they refer to it as the League of the South, they had a picture on the community center that this fictitious meeting was being held at, and it had League of the South meeting 2:00, and it had the name. They reiterated it in the skit. That was, I don't know. I, of course, never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake, but did that surprise you at all?
Well, it really did, because I haven't watched the show in years. I don't have a TV now, but I watched it a long time ago, and I'm really surprised that they mentioned our name, and I'm really, really even more surprised that they featured so prominently our Black Cross Southern Nationalist symbol, because that's how, absent our name, that's how people identify us. And they did both. They put our name out there, and they put our symbol out there. And they really didn't make very much fun of us at all. I think they made more fun of Vermont and Boston than they did us. So we got benefits all around from this. And as you know, you pointed out, over 2 million views. That's a lot of free advertising, my friend.
Well, that's 2 million again. Now 2 million. I told the audience I'd looked at it last Sunday, so 10 hours of it actually airing, and it was already over 1 million, but I haven't checked this week since. And so now it's over 2 million. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that's 2 million views just on YouTube. Just on YouTube. Oh, I don't know how many people watch Saturday Night Live when it's live, but probably more than 2 million.
Oh, I'm satisfied. But that was just 2 million on YouTube. Yes, exactly.
Right.
So, bring it on, make fun of us again, you know. I love it.
You know, they had to order that flag. Somebody ordered that flag from somewhere. Now the polo shirt was very similar, but not officially sanctioned. That wasn't an official League of the South shirt. That was one they made to look like it was. But somebody bought that League of the South somewhere. So I guess a couple of shekels trickled down to the league from NBC in some shape, form, or fashion there. So
that's right. You know,
well, we got to thank them for that, too.
Yeah, we have had a few orders for that flag lately, and we've sent them out. And, I'd have to go back and look to see who the most likely recipient of that was to get it on NBC. But, man, we appreciate the little bit of money that was spent with us buying that flag to show off there on the program. We enjoyed seeing it. So do it again.
Had it prominently featured. Like I said, it was more like a good-natured roast that you or I might do. And I thought it was quite endearing. And a lot of people who wrote into me on Twitter and on via email after we put it up on the website earlier this week seemed to think similarly as far as as that is concerned. So that is good news to know that there have been some phone calls that this is generated. And I would ask you, where were you when you found out about this? Obviously not watching it.
No, I was not. I was driving home from our flash rally in Newport, Tennessee, last Sunday, and our Tennessee State Chairman, Tom Pierce, sent me a text while I was driving and said, "Did you know the league was featured prominently last night on Saturday Night Live?" So I didn't, of course, at the time. But once I got back home to the office, I got on my computer and found it and watched it. So sometime last Sunday morning.
Absolutely fantastic. And I said this a moment ago, and that is the league's always in the news. But this was a little bit different. Of all the news that you make and all the times, especially in the last couple of years, it just seems like certainly every month, if not every week, the league is being talked about in some publication on some program. But to me, this did stand out a little bit. What was different about this particular fusion of press that was a little bit different than the press you normally receive?
Well, this was not nearly as nasty. Normally the press we get is very nasty and, you know, filled with a bunch of lies and, you know, stuff like you would expect. But this was just good-natured humor. And as I said, I think it was more of a dig at Vermont and Boston. Boston was mentioned in it than it really was at the South. You know, basically what they were saying is the League of the South, as much as we disagree with it, they want their own state. They want their own place for white people, white Southerners. They want to serve the interest of white Southerners, their own people, and so on and so forth. And that's the message we want to get out. So they got out our message as well as our name and our flag. So, and I guess they thought we'd be ashamed of that, but we weren't. I mean, if I was going to go in there and say, you know, spend 30 seconds saying, "What's the league about?" I'd say, "Well, you know, working for our people, Southerners, white people. You know, we'd like to have our own ethno state one of these days where we were the dominant the dominant force in it, politically, socially, culturally, et cetera." And basically that's what they were saying we wanted. So I'm sure a lot of white folks out there, Southerners and non-Southerners, saying, "Yeah, man, that doesn't sound too bad." You know what they're pushing for.
Well,
we'd like to have that too. So it was.
I think it was more of a dig at it.
Yeah.
I think it was more of a dig on Vermont, really, as you mentioned. It's interesting. They've got the sort of homogeneity that we would like, but yet they're so they're so left leaning. And but nevertheless, I think it was. And of course, the mayor of Boston, the mayor of Boston even had to come on the record and say, "Oh my God, no, we're not like a southern state."
So that's right.
That was funny. I want to mention, by the way, if you want one of those flags, there's several places you can get it. Patriotic Flags is one of those places. Of course, League of the South as well. Kyle Rogers at Patriotic Flags. Patriotic-flags.com, leagueofthesouth.com. Before you run, Michael, and again, thank you for taking a break out of dinner tonight to hop on with us. We got about just seconds remaining, actually. Eddie just came in for his shift, the Bombardier, and he wants to say a quick hello.
Well, Dr. Hill may have y'all fooled, but he don't have me fooled. I know Dr. Hill has plants, has molds. He ain't got me fooling none at all. He studied Nathan Bedford Forrest to know. He got there the first with Moses. Dr. Hill has his moles in Saturday Night Live. You ain't got me fooled, Dr. Hill.
I wouldn't put it past the man.
Hell no, I don't put it past him.
Sir, I'm all I'm going to say is, well, I've heard that rumor too. I'm not going to say one way or the other.
He won't confirm or deny. All right, Dr. Hill, we love you. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll be back with the third hour for everyone. Leagueofthesouth.com, folks.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.